Good to be back. I've seen a lot of familiar faces and a few that maybe I don't know. That's fine. Hopefully I'll get to meet you later. This is an actual radio conversation between a British naval ship and the Irish. Starts off with the Irish saying, "Please divert your course 15 degrees south to avoid a collision." The British responded, "Recommend you divert your course 15 degrees north to avoid collision." Negative, "You will have to divert your course 15 degrees south to avoid collision." This is the captain of a British naval ship. I say again, "Divert your course." Negative, I say again, "You will have to divert your course." This is the aircraft carrier HMS Britannia, the second largest ship in the British Atlantic Fleet. They're accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. I say again, that's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. The Irish replied, "We are a lighthouse. Your call." Just as this lighthouse could not move even if it wanted to, it's anchored in the rocks, there's nowhere it can go. We also have a God that cannot be moved. He cannot be changed. He is our immovable guide. If you look at the song, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning," it's number 397 in the books here. Amanda's going to use this song a little later, but at the very beginning of the song it says, "Brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore." God cannot be moved. His character does not change. Just as when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they were in this safe place, in protection from sin, protected from death. There was no sin at the time. They were in, if you will, a harbor. These harbors that keep boats safe as they come in and out of port, helps keep them protected from the weather as they come up to dock. Adam and Eve were in this harbor. They were in the garden, safe. Safe from death, safe from many things. But when they sinned, and God sent them out of the garden, it's like a ship leaving the harbor, going out into the open seas with the waves and the wind and the storms and everything that comes up out at sea. Adam and Eve were out in the world with sin and temptations and the storms that life can bring. And as I said, God cannot be moved. Sometimes people try to fit God's word into their plans for life rather than build their life around God. Because they left the garden, because they had sinned, they had fallen away from God, they had been separated. God sent Christ. He sent prophets. He sent people to guide us back to him, to guide humanity back to a relationship with him. He set up that lighthouse to guide us. He gave us the light, the word, to guide us back to a relationship with him. In James 1:17, it says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning." God does not turn. He does not change. He is the same. He is anchored and cannot be moved. Some like to think that some scripture may not apply to us today, or that it means something different than it did then. But in Isaiah 40, verse 8, it says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." His word does not change. It does not. We cannot twist the word to fit our lives because that's what we want to do. We have to change our lives to fit his word. He has given us the path back to relationship with him. He is guiding us back to that harbor of safety. And we have to follow that light. We have to follow those directions. Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all one. What can be said about one can be said about all three. And the same can be said about his word. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That means His Word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His Word does not change, and it is that guide coming back to Him, coming back to that relationship with Him. Many try to change the Scriptures, like I said, to fit their lifestyle, whether it's trying to get away with doing something or trying to make something they don't like seem to be wrong. It may not be. Oftentimes, God is referred to a rock. 2 Samuel 22, verse 32. For who is God except our Lord, except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? We talk about, you know, the wise man built his house upon a rock, building his house on God. And that was the purpose of these lighthouses. It was to, one, guide them into harbors, but it was also to warn them of dangers, of rocks in the water, of different things. And they are usually anchored in the rocks. And God is that rock. God is a rock. If we stand on Him, we will not be moved. He guides us around the rocks of sin and temptation. He is that immovable guide. God will give us, God guides us past these rocks, the spiritual death. Sin, as you read in the Bible, the wages of sin are death. So God tries to lead us past these rocks if we will just follow Him. He leads us past the spiritual death. Even when the storms, these temptations, when Satan is at us, even when these storms are doing its best to sink us, when the storm is as bad as you've ever seen it, God will still be there to shine that light and to guide you around them. The Bible says that God, for every temptation, God provides a way out. He gives you that light to get out. Sometimes we might think we know a better way, and oftentimes when we try that, we end up hitting a rock. God knows how to get around all of these things. Psalms 48:14 says, "For this is God, our God forever and ever. He will be our God even to death." If we follow Him, He will guide us through life. He will guide us until the day we die. In the times that the New Testament was being written, they had people who were inspired by God to teach them how to live godly lives and the miracles to prove that they were inspired. Today we have all we need in God's written word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. So we have God's Word. We have the map, if you will, and we have that light, God's light guiding us through life and guiding us in the ways we should go. God cannot be moved. As I said earlier, He is the same today, tomorrow, and yesterday. When humanity sinned, they turned against God. They turned away from the light and tried to set a course on their own, just to keep with the theme of being at sea. They set off and tried to find a better way, thinking there could be a better way. And that's what they tried to do when Adam and Eve partake of the fruit. They tried to be like God. They thought it could make them like God. They were trying to find a better way. But God has told them, this is the best for you. God knows what is best for us, and God tries to put us in those situations, but sometimes we try to find something better. And that is when you end up lost at sea. When you leave the harbor, you end up lost at sea. You end up in these storms and crashing back and forth. I don't know if anybody's been on a boat in a storm. I remember one night I was catfishing out on Lake Conway. And if you've ever been on Lake Conway, if you don't stay in the boat trails, you will get stuck. We were out catfishing and we were tied up in a cove running yo-yos, and when we went to leave, the winds had picked up really bad and we didn't know it being up in the trees. When we went to leave, the winds were so bad that it kept blowing us off the boat trail, and we were hitting stumps and trying to get off of them. And it really was not fun at all. I'd never been so happy to get back to the boat dock. But around the area of the dock, they have trees surrounding it. And so as soon as you go through those trees, the water gets calm. The winds don't get in there as bad. And it makes it a whole lot easier. And that's what God is trying to do. I wish the boat trail had been lit up that night to help us through there. Because it was dark. It was at night. And it would have been great to have some kind of light showing us how to get back to the boat dock. But that's what God does for us in life. He shows us how to get around the stumps, how to get around through the trails and back into calmer waters, back to where you can safely get home. But we must also be guides. Just as God is the main lighthouse shining and showing them the way, we also have to be guides. Acts chapter 8, verses 29 through 31. Says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, but said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. So Philip would guide this man through the scriptures that he was reading. He says, how can I know what I'm reading unless somebody guides me? We also have to be that kind of guide, being able to help people through the scriptures, understanding them as best as we can to help other people. Back to let the lower lights be burning. It starts out, brightly beams our Father's mercy from his lighthouse evermore. But to us, he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore. Other lights that help identify obstacles and rocks and to help guide boats back into the harbor. It says, dark the night of sin has settled. Loud the angry billows roar. Temptations beating left and right around in the world. People who may not know Christ but are trying to learn, trying to find what they're looking for in Christ. It says, eager eyes are watching, longing for the lights along the shore. They're trying to find their way, but as we know, as somebody tries harder to get to Christ, the devil tries even harder on them to get them away. And so we need to be there for people to help them find their way to Christ. We need to be looking for people who are trying and who are having a hard time finding Christ and finding what it is they should do, and be those lights along the shore to help guide them in. It says, trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor, in the darkness may be lost. There are so many different religions out there. There's so many different ways somebody can go when trying to find God, find what it is that they're looking for in life. And so it's up to us as Christians to make sure we know the scriptures well enough to help somebody and guide them to the true God, to Christ, by trimming our lamps and helping those who are trying to make the harbor. Because in this world of darkness and temptation and other religions, it can be very easy to get lost. I took a class at Harding, World Religions, and we just kind of did a brief overview of a lot of the major religions of the world. And I started to realize that somebody who didn't grow up in a church or in a religion and trying to find the right way, I could easily see how you could get lost in all of it. How easy it would be to get lost in this darkness of one, temptation, but also of all these other religions and faiths that are out there. So God gives us this responsibility to be these lower lights. It says, let the lower lights be burning, to send a gleam across the wave. Show them where to go. Some poor fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. If we know the scriptures well and we can help them, we can help save those which are lost. God brings He gives us the responsibility of spreading His word and guiding people to Him. God brings people to the harbor. He gave us salvation. He gave us Christ. Christ laid out that path to salvation to bring us into that relationship with Him that was lost in the garden. But He allows us to guide them into the safety. He allows us to go out and reach them and bring them in to the harbor. This is both a great honor, God choosing us to help guide people to Him, choosing us to spread His word, to spread His message, but it is also a great responsibility. We must know the way in. We have to know the scriptures well enough that we can guide somebody in and guide ourselves in, be in that harbor and know how to get there. We also have to adequately light the way. We have to be able to adequately show them the way to Christ, show them how to come into this relationship with God and to reach salvation. Because if we don't, we could be the ones that lead them to the rocks. If we don't know the way properly, if we don't know how to get them to safety, we could accidentally end up leading them into the rocks. So it's both an honor and a responsibility. Something that we have to do as Christians, but we have to do it carefully. We are to be lights in the darkness, guiding those who are fighting through the storm and struggling to stay afloat. We have to be the lights that guide them to God. Philippians 2:15 and 16 says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So we have to be ourselves in the harbor. We have to know the way in. We have to be able to, like I said, adequately shine those lights to help the people into the harbor. And if we do so, we'll be able to rejoice on the day that Christ comes, knowing that those who taught us did not teach in vain, and knowing that those that we've taught did not teach in vain. Becoming blameless doesn't necessarily mean sinless, because in this world that is not possible, but being the best we can to run the race. We must first live a godly life to begin to show someone the way to salvation. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. 14 through 16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on the hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, where it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We have to be those lamps, the lower lights along the shore. We have to be followers of God first. We have to make sure our lives are as best as we can be, and then guide those into the harbor. And those who are lost, those who are struggling. So first, God is the lighthouse. He cannot be moved. He cannot be changed. When humanity became lost, He sent that light. He sent Christ. He sent a way of salvation. And that way is the only way to get in to the harbor. It is the only way to come back to that relationship with God. If you do not follow that way, if you try to find your own way, you will end up hitting the rocks. But once we have found our way in, once we know the way, once we are in Christ, we have our lives as best as we can, we have to be those lower lights to guide others to Christ. And if there's anyone here this morning who is in need of anything, if it's prayers or if it's in need of being baptized, if there's anything we can do, come forward now as we stand and we sing this invitation song.